All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Thursday, everybody. Today's January 29th, 2026. We got two big topics this morning. We've got big tech earnings and we've got metals once again. It's hard to pick which one is the bigger story right now, but I'm leaning towards metals because holy crap. All right. Guy, I know I've been pounding on this for a while now. I know metals are in the headline like every day for a month and they just keep going higher. And I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here, but what the hell are we witnessing in the precious metals market? Gold, $5,550-ish, who knows what, after hitting a high of over $5,600 yesterday. We just broke $5,300 for the first time yesterday. $5,400, $5,500, $5,600, a nearly $400 intraday swing in gold. What? Hey, silver, while we're at it, hovering around $119.50, at least the last time I looked. And by the time you look, it's like quantum pricing in precious metals. By the time you observe the price, it has already changed. Silver, $119.50 after hitting an intraday high of $120.50. I told you we were going to see $120 after Jim Cramer tweeted that he didn't like silver. Didn't I freaking tell you $120 was guaranteed after he said that? Well, there you go. So look, I don't know if you guys are familiar. I've heard a lot of talk about this in the last few days, and I looked into it, and it's strikingly accurate. We have seen three Six Sigma events in financial markets in the last week. All right, a Six Sigma event, that is basically an event that is six standard deviations from the norm. And okay, you're like, Jack, you're speaking in statistical BS. I don't understand this. Let's talk about it in probabilities. A Six Sigma event is a 1 in 500 million likelihood. Would you gamble on those odds? I would not. Let's put it in context as well. One Six Sigma event being 1 in 500 million. Let's compare that to your odds of winning the Powerball jackpot are about 1 in 290 million. Your odds of being struck by lightning today are about 1 in 500 million as well. So we have seen three Six Sigma events in the last week, starting with the meltdown in the long-term Japanese government bonds early last week with that big jump in the Japanese 30 and 40-year JGBs. A couple of days later, we saw a six standard deviation move in silver with that brutal $16 sell-off that happened in a span of about 3 hours and then reversed, of course, and we're already onward and upward to higher highs. And then yesterday's $400, nearly $400 intraday swing in the price of gold. Guys, that is the odds of winning the Powerball jackpot 2 days in a row after getting struck by lightning twice, finding a 20 in the laundry, and AOC saying something modestly intelligent, all happening in the span of 1 week. That doesn't happen, all right? If you're sitting on the casino floor and every single slot machine hits the jackpot simultaneously, something is wrong with the slot machines. Everybody didn't just get lucky. I don't know what it is. I don't freaking know. I have my ideas. I have my suspicions. All right. Look at some comparisons and the analogies. Remember that time everybody woke up on that Italian cruise ship and the whole crew had abandoned ship in the middle of the night? And they were like, what? And the guitar player in the band was left behind and he became the captain of the ship and coordinated the evacuation. How have they not made a movie about that story, by the way? Anyway, that's kind of what we're seeing, right? All the financial industries, like, everything is great in my AI bubble and, oh, yeah, stocks all-time high, the golden era. Meanwhile, everybody's climbing into lifeboats on this calm, sunny day. That's buying of gold, the safe haven asset. That's people climbing into lifeboats when supposedly everything is fine with the ship. Or it's like waking up in the hospital by yourself in the horror movie. What? Where is everybody? You just know the zombies are in there somewhere. Or all the birds taking off at the same time and all flying in the same direction. Oh, yeah, something really awesome is about to happen when you see that. I don't know what gold is trying to tell us, but I suspect It is a breakdown in the bond markets. Only the bond market is big enough to do this. All right. And I think the wealthy of the world have realized negative real yields are coming. They're here to stay. They're not going anywhere. They're getting worse. They're slowly pulling their money out of debt markets and putting it into gold for safety, all while putting on a calm face because they don't want everybody else getting the same idea, not until they have gotten themselves a seat on the lifeboat. I think it has to do with the bond market, but I don't know. You know, the whole, the de-dollarizing and the BRICS and the bank shorts and COMEX price suppression schemes and, oh, this fake Asian AI chatbot said something probably because he was paid by a bullion dealer to do it. I don't know what's right. I really don't. But a move like we saw in gold yesterday, after the move like we've seen in silver earlier this week, after the move that we saw in the Japanese bond market, should scare the pants off of anybody who's paying attention. Something, our rules, our assumptions, historical correlations that are supposed to bound what is possible in financial markets are not working. And I don't know what it is. All right, Jack, you're hyperventilating. Calm TF down. Why don't we move on to what we just saw in big tech earnings? Because we just saw huge events in big tech earnings. Microsoft and Meta reported essentially the same quarter. The results were nearly identical. Big beats, top and bottom line. Big increases in their CapEx. One stock went down, one stock went up. Somebody want to explain that to me? I guess my Meta investors, if you own stock in Meta, you clearly do not care about your money being burned to keep Mark Zuckerberg warm. All right. I mean, like after what, $60 billion or $70 billion now that they've lost on the metaverse, if you really care about responsible allocation of capital, Meta's probably not the stock for you. So I can understand Meta going up, but Microsoft's selling off on a pretty good quarter. That's interesting. Investors are ticked that Microsoft increased their CapEx. They did not like it. Also, Microsoft reporting a nearly 100% jump in remaining performance obligations, all exclusively tied to OpenAI. Remember, remaining performance obligations, that's like revenue that we might one day make. We don't know. It hasn't been booked yet. And the last time we saw somebody report a massive big jump in remaining performance obligations was Oracle back in September. And of course, Oracle spiked on that news and then began a brutal stock sell-off that continues to this day. Maybe the fact that Microsoft saw this big jump in spending commitments from OpenAI, maybe it has something to do with those spending commitments no longer applying to Oracle. Or maybe it's just more promises from people who are known to be compulsive liars, Sam Altman. Either way, Microsoft not having a good morning, Meta having a good morning. Tesla earnings, you know, my problem when I try to look at Tesla and decide whether they had a good quarter or not is I use things like logic, things like math, things like what is possible based on operating within the confines of the laws of physics and science. And none of those things really translate with Tesla. So Tesla reported an earnings beat, even though they had a 16% drop in quarterly vehicle sales, annual decline in revenue, second one in a row. Their carbon credit business is going up in smoke. Their government subsidies are going away. But Elon Musk said some shit about robots and the stock is up. That's pretty much Tesla earnings for you. Also, Tesla is buying $2 billion worth of a stake in XAI. Now, let me ask you this. How does Elon Musk, as the CEO of Tesla, negotiate in the best interests of his Tesla shareholders to buy a stake in XAI while simultaneously negotiating in the best interest of XAI shareholders as he negotiates how much of his company to sell to Tesla? How can you possibly act in a fiduciary interest of both parties of the same negotiation? I'll save you the mental exercise. You can't. It is a textbook definition of a conflict of interest. It's not the first time Elon Musk has done this. He did this when Tesla bailed out SolarCity. Same freaking thing. It should be illegal, but it's not. And that sound you hear? Yep, that sound, that is Jack's Twitter views being dropped into oblivion because I said a bad thing about Elon Musk. And well, I guess that's not very good for my business model. But hey, I got to call it like I see it. What the hell is Tesla buying XAI all about? And Tesla shareholders just celebrating their own money being used to bail out another AI venture. Tesla shareholders, I wish you guys luck, you adorable bastards. You have fun with that one. All right, what else we got here? Another crazy round-tripping story going on here. NVIDIA, Microsoft, and Amazon are supposedly in talks to pump up to $60 billion of cash into OpenAI. Blow, MFers, blow. You got to keep that bubble inflated. It's like everybody got together and decided, how much money are we going to sacrifice at the Sam Altman altar to keep OpenAI alive so all of our stocks and thus our personal fortunes don't go up in smoke? And it's like Jensen and Jassy and Nadella all in the same room, and they're all figuring out, well, okay, I'll commit $10 billion of other people's money. I'll commit $20 billion of other people's money. And Jensen is like, come on, guys, those are rookie numbers. If you want your stocks to stay higher, you got to inflate my sales. How about $20 billion apiece? So the latest in the circular accounting here, all of the hyperscalers are going to get together and pump money into their own customer in the name of this bubble. We'll see if investors fall for it. They have thus far. We also got Caterpillar earnings. All these environmentally conscious stewards of the climate are using diesel generators to power their shitbots. And so Caterpillar reporting big growth in their sales of generators to data centers. We've got Whirlpool stock is getting clobbered by both the trade war and the frozen housing market. We've got layoffs at Dow, another announcement about thousands of layoffs. And to close out the show, we've got a story about German pension funds taking big losses and regulators in Germany saying it's outside our remit, which means we're not going to do anything about it unless you guys want to give us more power. Get ready for that. Lots of headlines like that coming in the years and months ahead. Guys, we have got a lot to talk about this morning. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance today. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button for the YouTube algorithm. Should you feel so inclined, come on back tomorrow and have your coffee with the melon heads, because we do this every day. Oh, and that is just good stuff right there. By the way, I can see all the people getting timed out in the chat by the moderators. I can tell the Tesla guys are here. What's up, my Tesla guys? How you guys doing? Go easy on the mods. Being a mod is a thankless job. You adorable bastards, you. I'm sorry to laugh. Mish is probably grinding his teeth right now. Anyway, the S&P 500 right now is higher by 9 points or 0.13% to the upside. We've got the Dow has swung to a negative. It was early, green for most of the morning. Currently down 10 points here. You see this big middle finger right here? This looks like you'd expect this kind of trading in a shitcoin, not the Dow Jones Industrial Average. That was Caterpillar earnings. We had a big jump in Caterpillar, and then 15 minutes later, it was gone. Not really sure why that reaction to Cat earnings. They look pretty good to me, but that's responsible for that big outlier in the Dow this morning. And the NASDAQ is currently higher by 6 points, although giving up those losses, NASDAQ was sharply higher earlier this morning. The enthusiasm for those Meta earnings appears to be wearing off. Is Meta going to close in the red today? That would be a pretty wild swing if Meta ends up closing red. DXY currently lower by 13 basis points, 96.22, sitting right on that important support level at 96.2. Watch that breakdown in the dollar, guys. That is also a big part of what gold is telling us here. And looking over at the bond market, we've got yields are mostly lower, a little bit higher on the long end. The 30-year yield, 4.885%, higher by 2.5 points. The 10-year's at 4.264, higher by a point and change. The 2-year is down almost 1 point to 3.573%. And the 1 month is at 3.690, off by a half a point. That's after the Federal Reserve did nothing yesterday. Looking over at Bitcoin, having a rough morning, 87,884, about a grand lower than we were yesterday as priced on Coinbase. Looking over at commodities, again, wild day in commodities here. Oh, look, only a 6.5% move in silver to 120 bucks. What a slow morning. Yawn. All right, spot gold, 55.22 after peaking just shy of 5,600 earlier in the morning, up another 105 bucks, 2% higher for spot gold. April COMEX gold futures, 55.54 after hitting a high of 56.25, $213 higher, 4% to the upside. Silver, oh my God, ink isn't even dry on 120. We just hit 121. $121.07 for spot silver, higher by another $4.32, 3.7% higher, March COMEX futures at 121.22, higher by $7.63, 6.7% higher. I like the shiny, but guys, it's freaking me out. Not going to lie. Can you notice I'm a little perturbed, a little off-put this morning? I'm on the right side of this trade. I love watching metals go up. I'm making money hand over fist on this, but I'm not sure I want to live in a world that is telling me, or in a world that metals are telling me is coming right now. If gold goes to $10,000, our lives will be living hells. It doesn't matter how much gold we own, unless you own like millions of ounces. Good luck to you. But yeah, you know, I own a lot of metal and I'm glad to see my investments going up in money, but not, I don't own nearly enough for what comes next, whatever that is. Look at copper, a 10.2% move in copper, all-time high, $6.52 for March copper futures. Platinum up 6.8%, palladium up 5%. It's a good time to be metals. Crude oil is up almost 5% this morning, 66.35 for March WTI futures. Oh, that's right. There's probably like another war in Iran coming. And like, who's keeping track of the wars? How many wars have we fought in the last week? I don't even know anymore. World War III, we all know it's coming. All the defense stocks are doing really well. So Brent crude doing really well there. Natural gas up again this morning. The cold is never going to stop. Everything is frozen. Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria. Let's just peek at the gold charts. Why? Because it tells us nothing. I just like watching gold go up. But look, guys, $5,600. And this is that, in these last few days, there's that Six Sigma event in gold that we're seeing. Nearly $400 intraday yesterday. Silver, the big Six Sigma event in silver, that was this big sell-off that we saw. What was that, 4 days ago? Last Friday, maybe, or Monday? I don't even, the days are just blurring together here. Again, when all of these seemingly impossible events happen back to back to back, it means some of our assumptions about the correlation between different assets or rules that we use to bound our thinking on what will happen if this happens, some of these strongly held beliefs or correlations are no longer applicable. So if you're like, oh, don't worry, gold can't go to here because this would happen and that prevents that. Well, we're already seeing impossible things happening right now. So some of the boundaries are broken down, are no longer applicable. I don't know what those are. But look, Powell tried to be dismissive of this. He was asked at the Fed yesterday, this one in Kitco this morning. Powell dismisses gold's rally above 5,300, says Fed is not losing credibility. Yeah, they asked him about 5,300, and within 3 hours of that question, we were already at 5,600. So you want to revise your answer, Jay Powell? What I really want to know is, are you and your colleagues still squarely focused on achieving your dual mandate goals? He starts every speech with that stupid sentence, the squarely focused. Oh, that's good. Let me know if your focus falls out of square, because then it's time to worry. The entire world has been captivated by gold and silver's surging momentum as prices hit record high after record high. However, Federal Reserve Chairman is not very impressed with the precious metals accomplishments. Many analysts have attributed gold and silver's unprecedented start to the new year in part to growing uncertainty surrounding the Federal Reserve's political independence. However, during his monetary policy press conference, Powell dismissed those concerns. The argument can be made that we are losing credibility, you think? But that simply is not the case, especially because we never had any credibility, not after transitory. Remember that one? If you look at where inflation expectations are, our credibility is right where it needs to be, he said, lying through his teeth. We don't get spun up over particular asset change prices or asset price changes, although we do monitor them, of course, said the guy who prints money every time stocks start to go lower. Powell made the comments after the Federal Reserve decided to leave the Fed funds rate in a range between 3.5% and 3.75% following its first monetary policy meeting of the year. The decision was in line with economists' expectations. That's according to the CME Fed Watch tool. The markets will not expect another rate cut until June. While Powell has been fairly quick to dismiss the precious metals historic rally, the same can be said for the gold market, which has largely ignored Powell's comments as he walked a fairly neutral line. And going back, let's look at the hourly chart here. This is kind of hilarious. Oh, man, I drew a lot of squiggles this morning. But Powell was asked at some point during his press conference, which begins at 2:30, all right? So Here's 2 p.m. Here's where the Fed press conference begins. And it's before, like somewhere right around here, that he gets asked, are you worried about gold? And he says, no, don't worry. Our credibility is fine. I'm not worried about gold. And then gold gives him the finger and rallies like 300 points in the ensuing 3 hours after he asked that question. So maybe, Powell, you want to revisit that answer? Do you think the gold market is expressing confidence in your square focus on the dual mandate of achieving price stability and maximum employment? You want to rethink your bullshit answer? Oh, no? Okay. Well, let's just keep going here. All right. On to the big earnings of yesterday afternoon. Let's start with Microsoft. That was the big one. Microsoft Q2 earnings beat on top and bottom lines as cloud revenue tops $50 billion, but the stock falls. It's interesting. Microsoft stock fell on what was ostensibly an excellent quarter. Microsoft reported its second quarter earnings after the bell on Wednesday, beating the Wall Street estimates on the top and bottom lines, with cloud revenue topping $50 billion for the first time. The company stock fell 6% before the bell on Thursday on that news. We are only at the beginning phases of AI diffusion, and already Microsoft has built an AI business that is larger than some of our biggest franchises, said CEO Satya Nadella. We're pushing the frontier of our entire AI stack to drive new value for our customers and partners. Talking point, talking point, talking point, soundbite, soundbite. Remaining performance obligations, or the value of contracts Microsoft has with customers that haven't been paid out yet, hit $625 billion, almost a 100% increase in remaining performance obligations, which, by the way, is a bullshit statistic. RPO is fake. All right. It's just people who don't have the money have promised to spend all this money with us. It was fake when Oracle did it back in September, and it's fake now that Microsoft is doing it. And you can see that entire increase, some 45% of that, comes from OpenAI commitments. The number has become a key metric to help Wall Street better gauge overall AI demand. No, all it is a gauge of the random numbers being spouted off by Sam Altman, who is widely accepted to be a compulsive liar. That's all that is. Microsoft continues to face AI capacity constraints, meaning customer demand for AI is outpacing Microsoft's ability to supply it, putting an artificial cap on Windows makers' revenue. That's also why the company is pouring billions more into CapEx, which hit $37.7 billion in the quarter, up from $22.6 billion in the second quarter of 2025. More cash is being burned at Microsoft. They're falling into that same trap that Oracle fell into, reporting OpenAI's commitments as remaining performance obligations. Right now, Microsoft stock getting clobbered ahead of the opening bell, down 7.2%, trading at $446, well off the highs of, we'll say, about 550 that we hit last fall. Microsoft is continuing to fall here this morning. Now, let's take Microsoft's earnings and then contrast that with Meta's earnings, which were almost identical. And yet, look, Meta boosts annual CapEx sharply on super intelligence push and shares surge. Instagram owner Meta on Wednesday boosted its capital spending plans for the year by 73% in pursuit of super intelligence, which will never arrive, at least not based on current large language models, an effort to offer deeply personalized artificial intelligence to its large social media user base. Shareholders backed CEO Mark Zuckerberg's ambitious capital outlay, boosting Meta's stock 10% in extended trading, as the company posted a 24% surge in advertising revenue, its mainstay. For the quarter ended December 31st, it also forecast first quarter revenue below Wall Street expectations. First quarter revenue above Wall Street expectations. Pretty important qualifier there. Look, the 24% surge in revenue, their ad business is doing really well. All of that money is being burned in pursuit of AI and then some. Remember, Microsoft got into bed with Blue Owl Capital and borrowed tens of billions of dollars off balance sheet so it doesn't show up in their quarterly reports. And they're using that money to pay for this AI build out. It doesn't show up in their numbers because they're hiding it, kind of like Enron did, or exactly like Enron did. But everybody seems to be like okay with that, especially Meta shareholders. On Wednesday, the company said it expects capital expenditure for 2026 to be between $115 and $135 billion, driven largely by infrastructure costs, including payments made to third-party cloud providers such as Google, higher depreciation of its AI data center assets, here's looking at you, Michael Burry, and higher infrastructure operating expenses. By the way, since when do infrastructure operating expenses get reported as capital outlays? Again, that's another big accounting red flag. Higher infrastructure operating expenses being counted in CapEx. That ain't right. This compares with expectations of $109.9 billion CapEx budget, according to Visible Alpha, and $72.2 billion Meta spent last year. They are nearly doubling their cash burn. They spent $72 billion last year, and they're going to spend up to $135 billion this year. And Meta shareholders are happy about this, up 10.5%. All right. You know, I mean, this is like the kids cheering when the ceiling caught fire in the bar, and they're like, yay, even more of our money is going up in smoke. This is really good for us somehow. Never mind the fact that, like, one of the most groundbreaking researchers in AI history just walked off the job at Meta because he said what they're doing is never going to achieve artificial general intelligence. And he also didn't want to answer to this 19-year-old a-hole from Scale AI that Meta just bought. All right, more money going up in smoke. Meta and Microsoft going in opposite directions on essentially the same report this morning. Tesla, meanwhile, plots a $20 billion splurge to support Musk's AI future. Get ready, Tesla bros. Here it comes. Tesla will spend over $20 billion on a dramatic reshuffling of factory lines, reflecting Elon Musk's repositioning of the car maker coming off a multi-year sales slump. Remember, this is a car maker. They are supposed to make and sell cars. The capital expenditure plan for 2026, more than double last year's outlay and almost twice as much as Wall Street was expecting, will go to ramping up production of cars, batteries, and robots across half a dozen plants. To make room for new Optimus humanoids, Tesla will discontinue two of its oldest vehicles, the Model S and the Model X. So car maker Tesla is going to make fewer cars to make room for humanoid robots. And look, guys, this whole humanoid robot obsession, it's stupid to give them legs. I mean, from an engineering perspective, this does not make any sense. I liked Empire Strikes Back too. The all-terrain armored transport was freaking awesome. Watching those things stomp across the snow, shooting at the spears was awesome. It was cinematic gold. But giving them legs doesn't make any freaking sense. And I kind of have the same reaction to humanoid robots. They're stupid. It's science fiction. It makes for great sound bites. It's a shit business. And Tesla's going to stop making cars to do more of this. Okay, good luck. Good luck. And I'm sure the comments are going to love that. Tesla's adjusted earnings dropped to 50 cents a share. The company trades at a few hundred dollars and they just earned 50 cents. Okay. The point is to make money, right? Or to grow, not to shrink. The company snapped a streak of four quarters in which profit on that basis was weaker than expected. Musk has previously warned Tesla was headed for a rough patch, navigating lower EV demand and waning U.S. subsidies. While the company is finally bringing its long-planned semi-truck to market this year and will soon start making its two-door, two-seat Cybercab, production of the Model S and the X will wind down in the next quarter. The S, which cost about $95,000, and the X, with a price tag of nearly $100,000, are much lower-volume vehicles compared with Tesla's more affordable 3 and Y. It is nice to see companies making more of the affordable cars versus more of the expensive ones, kind of the opposite that we're seeing from General Motors. I like to see that. The profit beat helps offset disappointment stemming from a steady decline in vehicle sales. Tesla earlier this month reported a 9% decline in 2025 deliveries. The company ended the year with a 16% quarterly vehicle sales drop, its steepest decline yet. An increasingly crowded EV market, the end of the U.S. tax credits for EV purchases, and backlash against Musk's polarizing politics and his role in the Trump administration contributed to the company's woes. One of the company's lucrative revenue streams, selling regulatory compliance credits, carbon credits basically, also is coming under pressure, with sales falling 22% in the fourth quarter from a year earlier. That income has dropped since the U.S. eliminated penalties for automakers exceeding fuel economy standards. Due to the regulatory credit revenue slide and drop in vehicle deliveries, Tesla's annual revenue declined for the first time. A revenue decline from a growth company. A car maker making fewer cars, and the stock is up. Let's see, what do we got here? Tesla currently trading at $440. It's up by 2.25% on revenue declines, on fewer vehicle sales, on some bullshit about robots, on 50 cents of earnings. All right, an annual rate of $2 a share. The company trades at $438. That's, you know, a PE of 300 on shrinking revenue. Sure, math does not matter to Tesla shareholders nor Meta shareholders. So again, my brain is not biologically equipped to analyze a Tesla earnings call because I am bound by math and logic, which do not exist in the Teslaverse. Good luck, guys. Meanwhile, NVIDIA and others are in talks for OpenAI funding. The information says here comes the OpenAI bailout. Got to keep that bubble from bursting. NVIDIA, Microsoft, and Amazon are in discussions to invest as much as $60 billion in OpenAI as part of a major new funding round, the information reported, citing people familiar with the talks. The planned investments would contribute to a round of as much as $100 billion, the information said. Existing backer NVIDIA is in talks to invest up to $30 billion, you know, money that'll come right back to them to buy their own chips. Microsoft, already a backer, less than $10 billion. That money will come right back to them in the form of data center credits. Amazon, a new investor, could commit over $10 billion or even more than $20 billion, money that will also come back in the form of Amazon's chips and data center rentals. The massive fundraising round could help alleviate investor concerns about OpenAI's cash burn by giving them a whole bunch more cash to burn at an even faster rate, while continuing the investment frenzy surrounding the leaders of a technology with the potential to transform industries and economies. Yeah, the potential, the promise of, they haven't done it yet. In recent months, Wall Street analysts have warned of a potential bubble forming, you think? In part because of the circular nature of some of those investment deals where companies invest heavily in potential customers to keep up spending on their own products. In other words, what Jack has been saying for nearly 2.5 years now, the planned new investments into OpenAI are in addition to the $30 billion that SoftBank is planning to commit, according to the report. The size of Amazon's investment into OpenAI could depend on other deals the two companies are negotiating, the information said. OpenAI is in initial discussions to raise at least $10 billion from Amazon and use its chips, a potential win for the online retailer's effort to broaden its AI presence and compete with NVIDIA. The company's also announced a deal in which Amazon will supply the startup with $38 billion of cloud computing power over 7 years. There's data center credits, the AI bubble's funny money. OpenAI Chief Executive Officer Sam Altman has also been meeting with top investors in the Middle East to line up funding for a new investment round that could total at least $50 billion. People familiar with the matter said the ChatGPT maker is looking to raise $50 billion or more in the round at a valuation of about $750 to $830 billion, the people said. The talks are early and the amount could change. All right. The government said they're not going to bail out the AI bubble, and so the AI companies are going to try to bail themselves out. Good luck with that one, guys. More money to burn. Meanwhile, Caterpillar tops estimates as data centers lift power demand. That's pretty much the story right there, guys. We're going to go pretty quick through this one. Caterpillar posted a good quarter because they're selling a lot of diesel and natural gas generators to data centers. And that is more than offsetting the declines in heavy equipment sales in other industries like the collapse of the Chinese housing market. So, you know, all these effective altruists who are so concerned about the climate have no problem putting diesel generators on their data centers to power their chatbots. It's almost like they never really cared about the climate. They just said the right things in echo chambers, hoping it would convince people to turn over cash to them. And now that there's different ways to make money saying the opposite thing, well, suddenly they don't care about the climate anymore. Hey, Caterpillar, $660.66, up $17, 2.7% higher. And there's that spike that we looked at in the Dow chart. You see it here in the pre-market chart of Caterpillar. For whatever reason, Cat had a big spike and then sold off a little bit. Still, though, up 3.3%. Another one having a good or not a good morning, another mover this morning is Whirlpool. Their fourth quarter revenue falls on lower America sales volumes. It was a bad quarter for Whirlpool appliance sales. Whirlpool sales declined slightly in the fourth quarter as its volumes decreased in North America and Latin America. The appliance producer on Wednesday posted a profit of $108 million or $1.91 a share. That's compared with a loss of $390 million or $7.10 a share a year earlier. I don't think those are comparable numbers. I think something happened a year ago that Whirlpool spun off a segment or something, and that's where that big loss came from. Revenue declined 0.9% to $4.1 billion. Analysts had expected $4.27 billion, so it's a big miss there. Sales of major domestic appliances fell 0.9% in North America and 4.6% in Latin America. Both declines were driven by falling volumes. In North America, slower volume was especially pronounced in Canada, probably a trade war fallout there, right? People, Whirlpool, a U.S. company. The Canadians are like, no, President Trump said he wants to make Canada the 51st state, and I don't like that. Pass the maple syrup. I'm not going to buy any Whirlpool appliances. Earnings before interest and tax margins decreased as the promotional environment has not yet reflected the full impact of the tariffs. All right, so you got more losses coming from tariffs. In Latin America, margins were dented by negative macro environment in Argentina and aggressive competition in Brazil. And I suspect that aggressive competition in Brazil was from Chinese competitors. Call that a hunch. Global small domestic appliances revenue grew or increased 8% as new product launches improved price and mix. There was growth within the direct-to-consumer business. The Benton Harbor, Michigan company said it executed a $200 million structural cost takeout to help mitigate the effects of tariffs. And I honestly, I don't know what a structural cost takeout to mitigate the effects of tariffs is. I think what they're trying to tell us is tariffs cost them $200 million. And I don't know why they didn't just say that. They wanted to give their thesaurus a chance to stretch its legs this morning. So they called it a structural cost takeout, $200 million in tariffs for Whirlpool. Sure. That stock off its lows of the morning, though, currently down 7.9%. It was down more than 10% at one point, bouncing a little bit here, but not a good morning for Whirlpool this morning. Ticker WHR. Meanwhile, we have got Dow to cut about 4,500 jobs using AI to boost operations. I don't really buy the AI story. Okay, AI is going to make chemicals now, sure, maybe, or it looks like they're cutting more white-collar jobs. Kind of the same thing we saw with Amazon yesterday. They're laying off middle managers. Another day, another headline about thousands of layoffs, this time from Dow. That's pretty much the crux of this story. The story being spun is that they're going to make investments in AI and efficiency, and that's going to offset these job losses. So probably more headlines like this coming. And last one of the day, German watchdog sees pension fund losses outside its remit. All right, this is interesting. Big losses in pensions, and regulators are saying, well, there's nothing we can do about it. Get ready. I don't think this story is going to stay in Germany. Pension funds are the dumping ground of choice for all of Wall Street's most toxic sludge when they can't find another buyer somewhere else. They always put it in grandma's pension. See also this story in Germany. Germany's top financial watchdog said it has taken note of a string of losses in several pension funds, but also pointed out those cases are outside its remit, which means we took notes and we're not doing jack shit about it. There's an accumulation of unfortunate cases in the investment policies of, oh boy, how do we say this? Versorgungswerk. How's my German? Versorgungswerk. Gesundheit. This German name. There has been an accumulation of unfortunate cases. That's according to BaFin President Mark Branson, who told reporters on Wednesday, referring to a common type of occupational pension fund. Any question about potentially changing supervisor competences must be decided politically. Financial watchdogs are doing nothing about the fraud in finance that is ripping off pensions, and they are punting to the politicians, which in my opinion is bullshit. Take out your rule book, find a loophole, and fix grandma's pension. Don't sit around and say, well, if the politicians want to give us more power, then maybe we'll do something about it. Several of Germany's 91 occupational pension funds have taken hits in recent years on soured investments such as real estate loans. Among them is a Berlin dentist fund, which has said it expects to have about half of its 2.2 billion euros in invested assets wiped out. Read that again. A German dentist pension fund losing half of its assets. 50% wipeout. Bavaria's BVK, which oversees some occupational funds, has warned of losses as much as 850 million euro. A pension plan for physicians in the state of Schleswig-Holstein has booked write-downs totaling 64 million euros from 22 to 24 on the back of failed mezzanine finance investments, while pension funds for pharmacists and dentists in the federal state took similar write-downs. Some have raised monthly contributions for their members. In other words, you have to pay more money into the pension to get the same payout because we lost half your money in shitty commercial real estate investments. Without naming specific cases, Branson said they have raised the question of how much money these pension funds can invest in risky assets and which authority should regulate them. We don't have a house view on this, he said. That's a political question. But of course, the question does come up after such events, and it's in an area where we have some expertise. So this guy's saying, yep, pension funds are getting clobbered by lousy investments, and we have no intention of doing anything about it unless the politicians get off their butts and do something. That is the politicians that are owned by the institutions that are currently dumping these toxic sludge into grandma's pension fund, which means nothing is going to be done about this. Get ready, guys. You're going to see more headlines like this. And we wonder why gold's going 55, 56, maybe 57. Who knows? Is it 58 yet? I'm thinking these two things might be related. Hey, I just want to say thank you very much to Perfectionist Virgo. Welcome to the Melonheads, Perfectionist Virgo. Thank you so much for supporting the channel. I appreciate that very much. Everybody say welcome to the Perfectionist. Jock Mahon says, Peter Schiff doing so many victory laps, he's already taken the Olympic gold in relay. Peter Schiff was right about a lot of stuff, wasn't he? Yep. Peter Schiff, I'd imagine he's taken a few victory laps here, but you know what? If I know Peter Schiff, I'm willing to bet he'd say something similar. He likes to see gold going up. He thinks it's long overdue, but he's really worried about what that means for everybody else. Guys, this is not normal. This is not good. In the short term, it might be good for people who own some gold or, oh yeah, I bought a couple ounces of gold and it's up. Yay. Guys, what this means for every other facet of your life cannot be good. All right. It must slow down. Gold, silver, please stop. I know it's contrary to my own personal interests, but shit, something really bad is coming. Something wicked this way comes. Thank you, Jock Mahon, for supporting the channel. Dan Funk, we want the funk. He's also a new member. Thank you so much, Funky Dan, for supporting the channel. Welcome to the Melonhead, sir. Everybody say hi to Dan Funk. And the Pasta Man is here. He says, Schrodinger's metals price, it is both higher and lower simultaneously until we look. Shall we look? Oh, boy, I looked. Let's see. Gold, 55.19 for spot gold, 120.22 for spot silver. So, all right, we're down about a buck from where we were a few minutes ago. Back in the day, that was a big move. Now it's just like a rounding error. Thank you very much, Pasta Man, for supporting the channel. Jolly Lollipop 1 says, Trump went bankrupt 7 times. By some reports, now he's bankrupting the whole USA. Bankruptcy is his forte, only thing he knows how to do. The Trump went bankrupt 7 times. Trump personally didn't go bankrupt. 7 of Trump's businesses went bankrupt, and he has siloed business. But he did weaponize bankruptcy. That is accurate, and he used it to get out of paying for things. Did Trump bankrupt the USA? Sure. So did Joe Biden. So did Barack Obama. So did George W. Bush. So did Ronald Reagan. So did everybody. All the way back to, I don't know, FDR? How far back you want to go? They all did it. I mean, they all jacked up the national debt. And the next guy is going to do it too. There is no change on the horizon. They've all done it. So, and them and their friends get rich doing it. That's the thing, the Cantillon effect. The people closest to the money printer are the ones making the decision to use the money printer. Bankruptcy is his forte. Only thing he knows how to do. He knows how to do other things, but yeah, he's pretty good at that one. Thank you, Jolly Lollipop, for supporting the channel. Innovative Sustainable Solutions says, don't touch the stock, but the Model Y is outstanding. You know, that's generally my take on Teslas as well. The cars are awesome. He makes cool products. His businesses are shit. And his shareholders don't care. I mean, that's Tesla in a box right there. I've never driven a Tesla, but I'm willing to take the word of people like ISS here and many others that I know who say the cars are freaking awesome. I believe you. I'm not doubting the quality of the cars, but a quality product and a good business are not the same thing. And that whole thing where he's buying a stake in one of his companies using money from his other publicly traded company, I don't understand how you can possibly do that ethically or legally. I just don't get it. I don't get it because you can't. You cannot negotiate both sides of a deal in good faith while acting simultaneously in the best interests of everybody, all right? Maybe Jesus Christ could have done that. Short of him, nobody else can do it because nobody else, not even the freaking Pope, is capable of acting in the best fiduciary interests of both sides of the same deal. It just doesn't work like that. They're diametrically opposed. Thank you very much, ISS. Nashville Pasta Man is back again, says wife chimed in. Nike 800 layoffs for automation. I wonder where those layoffs are. Probably white-collar layoffs, all right? It's not a problem until Nike starts laying off the sweatshops, right? All right, not surprised to see that one. Nike is another one of those companies that's had a rough go of it, and they're trying to turn the ship around. Man, those layoff headlines, they are piling up. And there was another one this morning. It wasn't just Dow. Somebody else, it was smaller. It was a few hundred layoffs as well. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but it didn't make the cut. We had too many stories this morning. Thank you, Pasta Man, for supporting the channel, sir. Chris Bott says, I took profits on metals and am now self-proclaimed Grand Poobah of Liberland. All right, you need to get yourself a mace and a scepter, steal $7 billion worth of Bitcoin, cause an international geopolitical crisis. And what was the other thing? Oh, yeah, be elevated to godhood. That was the other thing. God Emperor of a Libertarian Paradise. If you don't know what I'm talking about, there's a story in my feed about this lady, Zhiman Zhiman. It was my greatest pronunciatory struggle ever on this channel, trying to pronounce these names. Yeah, check out that video in the feed about the $7 billion in Bitcoin stolen by a morbidly obese libertarian Chinese god empress. I am not making this up. Thank you, Chris Bob, for the laugh this morning, sir. Citrus Mo says, I like this shiny. I'm Jack Amble, and I approve this message. I think we disagree, but if Amazon and Microsoft are investing together, it's more about Google's tech supremacy. Interesting take. Google not included in that OpenAI. Okay, I hadn't thought about that. But Google taking a big chunk out of OpenAI's business would drive that. That's an interesting take there. OpenAI is the key to keeping Microsoft from turning into IBM. Appreciate you, Jack. You know, another thing I didn't mention with the Microsoft earnings, now that you mentioned this, and thank you very much for the kind words, by the way, about a dollar of the earnings per share that Microsoft just reported. It was like $5 and change versus high threes expected. About a dollar of that was because of the restructuring at OpenAI, where historically Microsoft has actually taken a big loss, a big share of OpenAI's losses. Because of the change to the accounting structure at OpenAI, Microsoft reported a little more than a dollar per share of earnings just from the revaluation of OpenAI like that. So Microsoft's earnings weren't as good as the cover might suggest there. There was a little bit of some accounting gimmickry going on with OpenAI. I don't think that's going to be an ongoing thing, though. Thank you very much, Citrus MO, for supporting the channel. Good thoughts, sir. Madison Hypes, thank you, says NVIDIA is selling fax machines before email. DeepSeek. I see the metaphor there. It's suggesting because of DeepSeek that NVIDIA's technology is already obsolete before they make it. Honestly, the analogy I prefer is NVIDIA is selling fiber cable because the demand will be there someday. Trust me, bro. And they're manufacturing the demand right now. They're keeping the demand alive by bankrolling it. See, also taking a $60 billion stake in OpenAI so they can afford to keep buying and renting their own product. If the circular financing were to stop, this industry would die, like flatline instantly. It cannot survive without this accounting fraud. The entire $21 trillion bubble is built on a premise of, trust me, bro, it's going to be awesome. In the meantime, fraud. That is the AI bubble. It's going to end great. You know, that along with the German pension thing and whatever the hell gold is trying to tell us right now, I'm sure for the average person, it's just going to be awesome. Thanks again, Madison. I appreciate that. The shrinkinator, if you will. We willification says, yesterday, do you have any concern about the dollar falling? Powell, no, we don't watch that. Yeah, right. I have no concern about concerning things. Okay, thanks, Jerome. He must watch the other Federal Reserve note. You can't make this stuff up. Look, it's a confidence game. Of course Powell's worried about the falling dollar. Of course he's worried about spiking gold. If he goes on TV and says that, then everybody else who doesn't understand what any of this means, they'll panic too. And that will make it harder for Jerome Powell's friends and puppet masters to abandon ship while everybody else is working on their tan on the deck of a sinking ship. So he has to project that confidence. Yeah, he was lying. He was just flat out lying about not being concerned about gold. Thank you, Mr. Willie, sir. Lex Lieberman, thank you, sir, for everything. He says, waiting for the government to invest our tax in OpenAI. You know, they tried that. What's her name? Was it Sarah Friar? Was that her name? The CFO? She tested the waters, and boy, did the market reject that instantly, and the public rejected that so much that the government had to come out and say, no, we're not going to do that. So the government said no, and next thing you know, Sam Altman's in the Middle East begging for cash. They're all getting together saying, who's going to pay to keep this thing alive? So the bailout is taking another form. But OpenAI, absolutely needs a bailout. Abso-freaking-lutely. That company cannot survive without more money being just given to them by somebody else to burn. And without OpenAI, this bubble comes crashing down. So, yep. Thank you very much, Lex. Good thought, sir. And thank you very much for gifting five Nobody Special Finance memberships. Welcome to the Melon Heads, all you baby melons, you. Thanks again, Alex, or Lex, for supporting the channel. Sorry, brother. Justine Evans. Did I say there? Or Justin Evans. Is it Justine's Vans or Justin Evans? I don't know. Just in time to spend too much time on the name here. A big thanks to It's M&J and Mish. Well, thank you for using your super chat to give a thank you to the mods. I think we were a little hard on the mods today. I'm just guessing. The Tesla guys don't always take everything in stride. They got a little bit of a glass jaw, you Tesla boys. They get their panties in a bunch awful quick there. And I think the mods are getting a little exercise today here. But hey. Thanks, mods, for everything you do. Thank you, Mish, Nan, M&J. Appreciate everything you guys do for the channel, as well as you, Just. Can I call you Just? A Just person. Break My Wallet Motorsport says, I don't think Tesla's move away from vehicles is a bad one. Could start a change in how we classify industries. And why no legs? You don't like legs? I mean, I like legs depending on who's walking on them, you know, and what they look like and the shape of them, you know, and how they end. Sure. Yeah, I mean, I like legs. From an engineering perspective, though, making an autonomous mobile unit, legs are stupid. All right, nature designed legs, but wheels work better. Rollers work better. It's just stupid. It's like the AT-AT in Empire Strikes Back. It's so cool. It's like Hannibal with the elephants. Oh, it's great. But, I mean, we have speeders. Everything hovers. Why would you give them legs? Because it's cool, because it just looks cool. And that's the same reason Elon is doing this. It makes no sense to make them human form. Make a robot specific for its task that it can do really well, not something that looks like a person that makes people who don't know any better go, ooh, ah. And then once you've made it and spent billions of dollars on it and made all these promises, then figure out what the hell it's going to do. I don't know. Is it going to wash dishes? No, it won't. I don't know. I think it's silly science fiction. That's my take on the legs. Thank you, Break My Wallet Motorsports. Rational Investor 2002 says perhaps DJT and Bessent want to revalue gold at 10,000 by July 4th, 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. Judy Shelton says gold-backed 100-year bond may get introduced. A gold-backed bond 100 years. I mean, that's the ultimate punt, right? Let's promise gold 100 years from now, which we certainly won't be around to ever have to worry about delivering on. Let's let our grandkids worry with that. That is kind of like the modern American way, isn't it? Cause huge problems for future generations and not give a shit. That's pretty much like the law of the land, isn't it? I haven't heard that particular story. I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, it certainly fits the mold here. The one thing I would mention about revaluation of gold does not directly influence gold price. All revaluation of gold does is prints money. That's it. It doesn't affect what it trades at. Now, the act of revaluing gold may have a psychological impact on traders who decide to bid up the price. There may be secondary effects of that, but mechanically, revaluing gold does nothing to gold's price. It's just money printing. But money printing does eventually lead to higher gold prices. Thank you, Rational Investor 2002. The Beekeeper 1 says metals are signaling the end of fiat currencies. I don't disagree, but keep in mind the end of fiat currencies could be next week, or it could be 50 years, or it could be 100 years from now. And it could also mean the end of fiat currency as we know it, but not the end of fiat currency, right? It could be signaling a massive devaluation of fiat currency where inflation reaches proportions we thought unimaginable. That could mean the dollar doesn't go away. It just really evaporates, right? And look at where we're at today and then rewind 50 years ago. If somebody 50 years ago said a dollar would buy you what it buys today, that person probably would have been dismissed as a lunatic and a doomer. And yet here we are. So it could be more of that. Honestly, what I really think metals are signaling, if I had to pick one thing, I think metals are signaling a loss of confidence in government debt. That's what I think metals are signaling right now, a breakdown in the bond market led by government debt. And that should terrify people. Most people have no clue how the bond market functions. And I study and read this stuff all day for years, and I still have a very limited understanding of the function of the bond market. But I know enough to know a loss of confidence in the bond market is a freaking catastrophe for all of us. It doesn't matter how much gold we own. The world is a mess if and when that happens. And I'm really worried that's what's happening right now. Thank you very much, Beekeeper, for supporting the channel. McMillan601 says, mining stocks, mainly silver-related, promising? I own a few miners, so I'm not opposed to mining stocks. I'm not rushing out to buy more right now because I think a lot of the move has already happened. And also keep in mind, great earnings have a way of being disappointing when everybody expects them. See also like what Microsoft just did. So the fact that the mining companies are going to be making money hand over fist, look at what their stocks have already done. A lot of that is already baked in the cake. So it's not automatic here that if you buy miners ahead of earnings, you're going to make a ton of money. Also, there is a risk that some of these miners have not hedged properly. Remember, the people, like we all talk about the shorts being squeezed in silver. And, oh, we're going to get the shorts. Remember who the shorts are. The shorts are silver miners. The shorts are bullion dealers. They're the people who short silver every day, all day, because they hedge their exposure to the movement of the underlying. And so if they did not hedge properly, or if they were out of whack or whatever, the actuaries didn't actually actuary very well. Those guys, they could lose a lot of money on their short hedges, more so than they make selling the metal at a higher price if they didn't do it right. So there are still risks for miners here. Generally, though, obviously higher metal price is good for miners, but not all miners are created equally. But yeah, they're doing pretty well here. And to a certain extent, the miners are underperforming the underlying metal, which might be a little concerning to some as well. Thank you, M. McMillan. And thank you, Armando Reyes. I get a lot of grief for how I pronounce your name, Armando. But thank you, Armando, for supporting the channel. Says, I'm surprised that the government is allowing all of this silver to leave the country, especially after adding it to the strategic metals list. Let's see. Is the metal leaving? Because we're not really in backwardation anymore. We got, we are back in contango, flipping back and forth. Honestly, I don't really think metal is leaving the country right now. Metal left the country in the fourth quarter because silver went $3 deep into backwardation. And so if you took an ounce from New York and sent it to London, you made $3 on the difference in the price. That doesn't exist right now. So I don't think that's happening right now. I don't think that's happening at this moment. Let's put it that way. If the government decides to say no metal is allowed to leave, that might cause even more problems, because then you have these invisible lines and, you know, like VAT taxes in China or in Europe, and it starts to throw the whole global market out of whack. So silver, yes, the USGS, which is not necessarily the government, the U.S. Geological Survey added silver to the strategic metals list, and there's still an open 232 investigation on putting tariffs on them, but they have not put tariffs on them yet. That remains a risk. I'm less inclined to think tariffs is driving this move in silver and gold right now. Maybe tariffs is contributing to the angst in the bond market and the breakdown in the global order and, you know, trade alliances falling. That might be contributing to the unwind in the bond market that is contributing to the move in metals. That is certainly possible. Thank you, Armando, for supporting the channel. Full of hope, with a lot of twos behind it, says, does DXY exclude sanctioned currencies? I believe it does. Yeah, the DXY doesn't include everything. For example, the yuan is not an input to the DXY. I don't have the list off the top of my head. I could tell you the euro is obviously the biggest input to the DXY. The Japanese yen is another big one. The Canadian dollar, the Swiss franc, those are all inputs to the Dixie, the pound sterling. It's not all currencies. If you Google what currencies make up the DXY, you can see the weighting, you know, which currency and what its weight in the index is. The euro is the big one. The yen is another big one. But no, not all currencies, and probably not sanctioned currencies. Like, what is it, the lira in Iran? What's the currency in the air? I don't think that's an input to the Dixie at all. Thank you very much. Full of hope for supporting the channel. M&J says, best economy ever. Yup. Gold going up in a straight line, doubling over a span of 11 months. That is surely a sign of prosperity for all, right? It's a beautiful day on the boat. Calm seas, the sun is shining, and everybody's climbing into the lifeboat screaming. That makes perfect sense to me. Thank you, M&J, for supporting the channel. Break My Wallet Motorsports said, noted, not a leg man. It's a family show. I'm not opposed to legs, but yeah. Other parts thrill me more. Maybe we just leave it at that. Break My Wallet. Appreciate the support of the channel. Thank you for being a melonhead for 19 months. Nashville Pasta Man says, gold back tether will be the new fiat. Now you're just pushing my buttons, Pasta Man. Gold back tether. Look, Tether's an interesting story here. If you would have asked me back in 2022, I would have told you Tether probably popped by now. It didn't. Sam Bankman-Fried tried to fail Tether when FTX went under. He tried to take the whole industry with him. Basically, like, if I go down, you're all coming with me. And it didn't work. And I think Mr. Lutnick over at Cantor Fitzgerald, who's now the Secretary of Commerce, I think he had played a big role in that. With when Tether got into bed with Cantor Fitzgerald, and basically Tether's now implicitly backed by the Federal Reserve, if you can believe that. But Tether survived that run. If we believe what they say, which is a stretch of the imagination, they now hold a lot more things like U.S. Treasuries and gold versus the dog shit Chinese commercial paper that they used to own. And Lutnick was the instrument of unwinding that horrible trade, and it's a good thing that they did. That being said, gold backed Tether, the new currency. Let's hope not. That's all I can say. Thank you very much, Pasta Man, for pushing my buttons this morning. Brian Myers, 9042, says, best video ever. Are you talking about Zhimin Zhiman and the overweight libertarian Chinese god empress? Best video ever. I had a lot of fun making that video, and it took me forever. I could not remember how to pronounce any of those names. The Mandarin pronunciation really, really pushed my non-regional diction to the max with that video. Thank you, Brian, for supporting the channel, sir. Good to see you. And for being a member for 7 months. Armando's back again, says, I think Tether and the U.S. government will force Bitcoin to merge or face getting pushed out. Armando, Bitcoin's not a company. It's not a thing. It's a bunch of unrelated guys running computers. And they don't all answer to the same person. They're not in the same place. They're scattered around the world. So, you know, Bitcoin doesn't merge. It doesn't do it. It doesn't have a CEO. It's not a company. It's a network. And the only way something like that, where like U.S. government will force Bitcoin to merge or face getting pushed out, they can't. They can't do that. The government can ban Bitcoin for not doing what they want. They can threaten the Bitcoin network operators, but Bitcoin isn't a U.S. thing. It's not an American thing. It's everywhere. So they just can't do it. Now, the Bitcoin network can get together and say, enough of us are in the United States, and what the government is threatening to do to us is so severe that we're going to vote to fork the network in accordance with what the U.S. government wants. And if more than half of the Bitcoin network votes that way, then that happens. But I'm not sure more than half of the Bitcoin network is even in the U.S. I don't think it's going to work out that way. I wouldn't rule it out, but it's highly unlikely as we look at Six Sigma events happening every other day. I guess I should rethink my belief in what's possible and not. All right. Thank you, Armando. Appreciate that. Lex Lieberman back again says, citizens should never accept allocated digital fiat. They must demand minted digital fiat. Each dollar must be a cryptographic object with serial, same as dollar bills have serials. I'm afraid those birds have already flown, Lex. I mean, most dollars do not physically exist. They create them digitally, according to Cash Carey and Powell. I mean, we're already basically into a digital fiat. There's, you know, dollars in circulation is not even a tenth of base money anymore. We're already there, sadly. Thank you, Alex, for supporting the channel. Sir, Hunt and Cover says, making the live stream longer. I just rambled today, and I'm sure I'm going to get read the riot act by the mods about this. I typically try to keep it under that hour length. I had a lot to say. I'm really freaked out by this move in metals. Combine that with all the big tech earnings happening in the same day. I apologize for the rambling length of the show. You guys made it a little bit longer too with all your generous super chats. I appreciate that. Thank you, Hunt and Cover, for supporting the channel. Thank you guys for sticking around for the full hour. That was a long one. I do appreciate the commitment. Thank you also for everybody who's about to hit the like button and the subscribe button. Appreciate you guys having your coffee with the Melonheads this morning. Thank you so much for the generous super chats. Thank you also to my magnanimous Melonheads on YouTube, Patreon, and Buy Me a Coffee. Links down below should you feel so inclined. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small and dream big.